Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 92 if you're listening by shortwave radio. I want to update everyone on the progress of the chick track order. I went last week and picked up 170,000 chick tracks in the back of a truck, almost 2 tons of tracks, and brought them to Boquete. And we had a wonderful opportunity here in Boquete. They had the Independence Day celebration here in Panama in Boquete. And so there was probably 100,000 people that came to Boquete, and we passed out thousands of tracks all over the city, and it was a great opportunity. But this is going to be a great opportunity to take these tracks in multiple nations around Central and South America. So we're real excited that we got those in. And also, just to update you, I was where I record this program, it's an Assembly of God church, and we started coming here back about 3.5 years ago when we first moved to Boquete, and just began to do whatever we could to help and serve. They nominated me to be the leader of the men's ministry, and now at this point in time, I'm the director of the men's ministry here for about 44 churches, and also they put me in charge of evangelism over the churches as well. So God has just really given lots of opportunities here. And the latest opportunity is they have started a gringo service on Sunday night. So I'm now the pastor of a gringo service here at the Assembly of God. And what's really unique about this is it's the only English-speaking service in the whole country of Panama. So this is quite a real privilege and a real wonderful blessing to be here. And just to encourage you that you never know what God will do once you leave your place of comfort and where God can use you really out there, use your giftings, use your talents and abilities. And many times they're not being used where you're at in your place of comfort. Sometimes it's the stretching that God does in our life when we begin to leave to pursue His will as He leads us. And this is kind of the adventure that has been undergoing in my life and my family's life over the last 3.5 years since we left the United States. But I tell you, everything that has happened has just been incredible. The opportunities are abounding outside the ministry opportunities that await many people if they're willing to leave. I know many people listening have been to church for many years. They've been through training courses, whether it be in evangelism or ministry. Maybe you've gone on a mission trip at one time. You know, what's really interesting is that when I had the urge to begin to maybe leave the country, maybe just on a mission trip, I would love to. I went on many mission trips just after I gave my heart to the Lord with Charles and Francis Hunter with the Hunter Ministries. I thought, you know, I really need to get my kids out, going out to minister and maybe go on a mission trip. And so I just began to pursue that avenue, and I had no idea that our family would be going on a mission trip, and then we'd be living on a mission trip. But that's where I believe the real opportunities lie, is in the place of need. And there's so many people around the world outside the blessing of what we've lived in the United States. In many other parts of the world, they don't have hardly anything. And there's so many opportunities to be a blessing. So this has really been an incredible opportunity that we've taken advantage of. And so we're having lots of people right now who have been wanting to come to Boquete or come to Panama or even have been encouraged to maybe go to another nation. And I really encourage you to pursue those. If you feel the Lord's telling you to do that, I really encourage you to pursue that word the Lord may be speaking to you. You know, I've been really thinking a lot about how God is trying to use us as Christians to raise the standard and raise the bar in other people's lives. And in order to do that, we have to raise the bar in our own life. We have to raise the standard. And this is something else that I've seen God do in my life and in my family's life, is that he began to challenge us in our old ways. Many of us justify maybe some things that we do based upon the other Christians that are around us, maybe the one that's on the pew next to us, that we justify maybe some things that we're doing in our life based upon what other people do in their life. And I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, "I'm calling you to live a holy and righteous life before me." And I said to myself, "Well, who's living it?" And he said to me, he said, "If nobody else lives it, I'm calling you to live it." And this is something that really challenged me at that time, because I realized that he was calling us to a higher standard. So he's calling us all to a higher standard. And this is what he was challenging me with, is that I was looking for an excuse not to obey. And he was showing me that there is no excuse, that I can't point my finger at somebody else and say, "Well, he's not living it," because he said, "I'm calling you to live it." And essentially, he just threw my excuse book in the fire. And I think that's what he needs to do with all of us. He needs to throw all of our, we need to just throw our excuse book in the fire and just realize that God is calling us as individuals, that there is going to be nobody that we can blame when we stand before him, that all of us have to answer to him, accountable to him. And I think if we can accept that responsibility and meet the challenge that he's calling all of us to raise the bar, I really believe that this is what he wants to do during this time now. And I was looking at some words that I had written a while back. They're posted on Strength for the Journey under today's Rhema. And this one was back on October 18th of 2014. And this word said, "We have entered a new time zone, a time where the obedience of one will judge the disobedience of another, a time where the selfless life will judge the selfish life of another. God is raising a new standard. He will use the dead wood to ignite and consume the live wood. He will use those who are dead to self to expose and judge those still living for self. We are gone on God's time clock now for his purpose and not our own. The stakes are high. Lives and souls are at stake. Playtime is over. It's no longer come and go as we please. We have entered the Ananias and Sapphira time zone, where the rebellious will be quickly and swiftly dealt with. My holiness will be reverenced. My glory is about to come upon the earth. I will be greatly feared. My holiness will judge unholiness. That is why my preceding word has been given, for you to examine your hearts and judge yourselves. For if you will judge yourself, you shall not be judged. If you refuse to judge yourself, you have chosen your own judgment. Fall before me in brokenness and humility. Turn your heart toward me, your whole heart. Let King David be your model and guide, to guide you as a man after my own heart. Allow me to expose the sin in your life. Sin is about to be judged on the earth and all those who embrace it. Release it now and flee from it. Turn your back on it and flee for your life, because your life is at stake, not only this life, but the life to come. Will you not flee from your sin and run to me? I'm waiting with open arms, but your arms must be empty. You must come to me empty, empty of yourself, empty of your pride, empty. Will you not abandon everything and run to me? I have long been waiting for your abandonment. I take no pleasure in stripping someone of everything, but it gives me great pleasure when someone strips himself of everything. The time is coming, and now when men's lives will be stripped. If you will lay all that you have at my feet, it will be used for my purpose and your life as well. Great will be your reward. If you refuse to lay at my feet what you are and what you have, I will use you as a good example of a bad example. You'll be rewarded as Ananias and Sapphira. Playtime is over. The harvest season has begun. It's either get in or get out. The reward shall be great for those who get in, and only destruction awaits for those who get out. I am waiting. What will it be? Are you in or are you out? And this word was back on October 18th of 2014, and many words like these were challenging words for us as believers to step out of our excuse mode and blame mode and take responsibility for our own actions. And I believe that if we will do this, if we'll take responsibility, and I think that's a part of repentance, is that we have to come to the place and acknowledge our sin and our wrongdoing. And once we do this, then at that point, then we can begin to be changed. We can begin to be transformed. Because if you don't repent, in other words, you have to turn from your sin. You have to acknowledge that you've done something wrong first. And once you've done that, then you can begin to see the error of your ways. And I think for me, I just had to allow God to expose what was wrong in my life and not blame anybody else. Because that's the first thing that came to my mind when he said, I'm calling you to live a holy and righteous life before me. And I thought, well, who's living it? And the first thing that came to my mind was people who had fallen in ministry, and I wanted to use them as my excuse of not obeying myself. And what I realized God was just trying to tell me is that there is no excuse, that we'll have nobody to blame when we stand before him. There's no excuse book that will be in our hands and nobody there that we can point our finger at. You know, it's like one time I remember a guy that he was really angry one time. You could hear him yelling next door. We lived out in the country even. And the next morning, I guess he felt pretty bad the way he was acting. And he said, you know, I'm a pretty nice guy unless someone else makes me mad. And I thought to myself, no, you know, a really nice guy is somebody who's a nice guy even when someone makes him mad. And I think if we can really take accountability of our own lives and really live our life before the Lord right now the way he wants us to, I think that he'll use us as an example. And one of the examples I really admire is the example of a man named Barnabas. Barnabas was a man that he was one of the 70 that were sent out, but he was a man that was first mentioned in the book of Acts when they had houses and lands and they sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles, laid them at the apostles' feet. And the proceeds were from this man's house, and he laid them all at the apostles' feet, it says. And I said, but another man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the difference was this man laid all of it, and I believe really what it was all about was Barnabas was a man that had given all of his heart to the Lord, that he held nothing back of his heart, so his possessions meant nothing to him. If he told the apostles that he was going to give all of them, he did just that. And I believe that the reason why Ananias and Sapphira could only give part of the proceed is because they really only given part of their heart to the Lord. They weren't wholly the Lord's. And I believe what they didn't, you know, what they didn't give to God is what killed them. And I believe that this is the standard that God is trying to raise in all of us right now. He wants all of our heart. He doesn't want just a part of it. He doesn't want a two-timing someone who loves him or says they love him. He wants someone who genuinely loves him with all their heart. And this is the challenge that all of us have now, that we have to really let the Lord expose what's in our heart and show and demonstrate it by our action. And really, just like the apostles, or when Ananias and Sapphira laid part of the proceeds there, they really didn't think God could see that they only gave part of it. And that's why they lied to the Holy Ghost, because it was the Lord that they were lying to. It wasn't man. But it was really amazing is that Peter there was such a standard that God had raised in his life that he could see that they had only given part. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after that it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart that thou hast lied, not lied unto men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And it says, the young man arose and wound him up and carried him and buried him. And this was the end of Ananias' life. And I really believe that Ananias was probably somebody well known in the church. It was not some little nobody. And that's why great fear came upon the church, is that, you know, they realized this playtime was over, that God was very serious about what was going on in the body of Christ. And I believe that this time is happening again, and I've seen this happen right here in Panama, with people coming really passionate about serving the Lord. But there's a lot that's required when you step out to go follow the Lord, really follow Him, and a lot of testing goes on. I kind of joke with people when they come, get on the mission field. I say, "Welcome to the oven," because it's like a trying. It's a testing time for all of us, and it's not so much the test. Really, is for us to find out really what's inside of our heart. I had a word recently that was given, that I received, and it was regarding many times people, when they leave to go, they really are passionate about leaving, say the States or going on the mission field, and they want to say move to Panama. But what we found is that there's a real testing that goes on after you leave, I wrote an article recently. It's posted on the articles tab on Strength for the Journey, but it's called The Boomerang Gang. And what I believe the Lord was showing me is that when you leave to follow the Lord, that you have to make sure your heart goes with you. And that's why He said in Luke chapter 14 that if you love anybody more than me, you cannot follow me. You cannot be my disciple. He said, if you don't pick up your cross to follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And if you don't forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. And I didn't really quite understand how these words, how much these words really meant until I actually was called to do just that. And if you know my testimony, we left the United States with suitcases. And so literally we forsook all and just very bare minimum we came with. And this is... you know, it was a very challenging moment for our life to leave everything, to leave our comforts, leave our friends, our family. But I knew God was calling us to leave. And when we left, there was something that I felt like my heart was severed from all my stuff. I mean, I had things that I had kept since I was a kid. I had trophies just from accomplishments of my past. And the Lord just ministered to me as I was looking over all this stuff. And I remember one afternoon I was looking at these trophies that I'd kept since I was a kid, and some of those were really big things that I'd done with a child and had great memories, and I heard the Lord say to me, He said, "Do you want to hang on to your old trophies or do you want new ones?" And as I began, and I took my trophies, I remember backing up with a trailer to the garbage dump, and I threw them in the garbage dump, and I never thought I'd ever see the day that I would throw all these treasures of mine in the garbage dump. And you know, it was a great sacrifice, but I don't think there's great rewards that come in our life until we're willing to make great sacrifices, and I think the greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. So I believe another thing that took place too is that my heart was severed from my stuff when I left it, when it didn't mean anything more to me, that I was willing to leave this beautiful place we lived up in Montana, this dream home, everything you can imagine. It was like living on a vacation. But when He said, when I knew it was time to go, it was time to go. And when I did, I could tell that my heart was not any longer there. And I think what happens to many people when they do go, if they don't forsake all, or if they love anybody more than the Lord, including their own life, that their heart will remain back in the old world. Their heart will long for the things that they left. And I think that explains why a number of people, after they leave, they end up going back. And, you know, I remember one couple came, and my friend was going to go pick them up to take them down the bus stop because they said they were just going to go to Panama City. And when he got there, it wasn't just like a couple suitcases for a few days. It was everything. All their suitcases were lined out in front of the house early in the morning. And then as they began to drive down to the bus station, they began to explain they were thinking about the kids and the grandkids, and that they just felt like they wanted to go back. And literally, you get to see the gospel played out, that if you don't forsake all, you'll long to go back and get what you left. And I think if you don't take your heart with you, that you'll have to go back and get your heart. Part of the word that I wrote in this article called The Boomerang Gang was that the life is in the blood, and the blood pumps our life through us in the natural. But it says, you know, out of our heart are the issues of life, that there's a spiritual heart that our desires come from. And if we don't desire the Lord more than anything in the world, that we won't continue to pursue Him, whether it be through persecution or anything else, that we'll give up, we'll fall short. And that's why we have to forsake all. That's why we can't love anybody more than Him, because we'll have a divided heart, that our heart won't be holy for Him. And sometimes we don't know these things until we've been tested. Sometimes we think we're really doing pretty good, and we think that, just like Peter, you know, no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I've been walking with you for 3 years, and no, I'm not going to deny you. And yet, 24 hours later, not even 24 hours later, he was denying the Lord. But he didn't know that was inside of him until the time of testing came. And that's why it's so important to understand where we're really at and take inventory of our life, because we just don't know when that time of testing is going to come. And when it comes, if we're not prepared, it could be too late to pass the test. I had another word back on July 23rd of this year, 2015, and this word read, "So many are ill-prepared for what is to come. They think they're something they aren't and have a relationship with someone they don't have. So many aren't prepared. Just as the foolish virgins, these overconfident people won't realize the truth until it's too late. For overconfidence is merely a manifestation of pride, and pride is a result of a man or woman who refuses to deny themselves. My word has never changed. No man can be my disciple unless they deny themselves. No man. This is the first and foremost, the final act of disqualification. I didn't disqualify them. They disqualified themselves. All men must play by the rules. They must play by the book. All must finish the race. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There are no shortcuts. Do you not believe my word is true? I must perform every word because I am bound by my word. It is an oath unto myself. Is not your word the same? For those who said they would give me their life and their heart, did you really mean it? Did you really give me your whole heart? Who have you really been living for, yourself or me? Are you really living for me? Search your heart this day and find the honest truth, for the day of reckoning is near. I am the Creator. I created time, and am in complete control of it. Fall upon the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall upon you, and you will be crushed to powder. You have nearly slept through your watch. I am giving many their final opportunity to check their lamps. The bridegroom is coming. Oil will be a precious commodity in that day. For those who lack oil, it will be too late to buy, and no man will give you their own. Each and every man is responsible for his own oil. If any man denies truth, they deny me as well, for I am truth. Wake up and then take inventory of your life. The auditor is coming. The harvest is about to begin. Are you the grain or the chaff? I know, but do you? I believe that the Lord is wanting us to take inventory right now of our life and really examine what's inside of our heart. You know, David said, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wickedness in me and lead me in the path everlasting. You know, he was willing to be bare honest, just be honest before the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. You know, it's not as if the Lord didn't already know what was in David's heart. I think what he really wanted to know was, what is inside my heart? Because we many times don't know what's inside of our heart until we've been tested. And then we find out what was really inside there. I think many times people, when they say, Lord, I'll forsake all and I'll go follow you, that's when the real test begins. You know, just as when the disciples were told, I'll meet you on the other side of the lake. And as soon as they got into the boat and began to go across the lake, a storm arose. And it says that contrary winds arose. And for most, contrary winds or unfavorable winds are just the excuse to go back to shore. Rather than pursuing the other side of the lake, they would rather just take the easy way out and just let the wind blow them back to shore. And this is what I've seen in many people that do say they want to go follow the Lord and pursue their whatever the Lord's putting on their heart. And it doesn't have to be going to another nation. It may just be something, an act of obedience that he's saying for any of us just to do where we're at. You know, ministry is just an act of obedience, one obedient act after another. And this is all God is really asking out of all of us, is just be obedient. What am I telling you to do? You know, what is the Lord speaking to each one of us? And that's what we're supposed to do. And I believe that if we will really mean that, Lord, I just want to obey. What is it, what you want me to do? And I will do it. Well, then the test begins. And I really believe that, if we will really seek the Lord with all of our heart and really pursue him with a passion right now and really mean it, whatever we say, whatever oath, whatever we say the Lord we will do, the Lord will give us the strength to do it. He will give us the grace if we'll just keep pursuing him. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be